We're going to be looking at Ephesians chapter 5, verses 1 through 21. Ephesians chapter 5. And before we read this portion, why don't we have a word of prayer? Our Heavenly Father, we thank you for your love for us. We thank you for your word. We thank you that your word is truth. It's living and active. And Lord, we pray that you would speak to each of our hearts this morning. Prepare our hearts for what you have to say to us through your word. And Lord, we pray that we would not be hearers only, but we would be doers of the word also. And we know this is only possible through the power of the Holy Spirit. And we just ask your blessing upon our time this morning. In Jesus' name, amen. Okay, Ephesians chapter 5, verses 1 through 21. I'll read through these verses. Therefore, be imitators of God as dear children, and walk in love, as Christ also has loved us and given himself for us, an offering and sacrifice to God for a sweet-smelling aroma. But fornication and all uncleanness or covetousness, let it not even be named among you, as is fitting for saints. Neither filthiness, nor foolish talking, nor coarse jesting, which are not fitting, but rather giving of thanks. For this you know, that no fornicator, unclean person, nor covetous man, who is an idolater, has any inheritance in the kingdom of Christ and God. Let no one deceive you with empty words, for because of these things the wrath of God comes upon the sons of disobedience. Therefore, do not be partakers with them. For you were once darkness, but now you are light in the Lord. Walk as children of light, for the fruit of the Spirit is in all goodness, righteousness, and truth, finding out what is acceptable to the Lord, and have no fellowship with the unfruitful works of darkness, but rather expose them. For it is shameful even to speak of those things which are done by them in secret. But all things that are exposed are made manifest by the light. For whatever makes manifest is light. Therefore he says, awake, you who sleep, arise from the dead, and Christ will give you light. See then that you walk circumspectly, not as fools, but as wise, redeeming the time, because the days are evil. Therefore, do not be unwise, but understand what the will of the Lord is. And do not be drunk with wine, in which is dissipation, but be filled with the Spirit, speaking to one another in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, singing and making melody in your heart to the Lord, giving thanks always for all things to God the Father in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ, submitting to one another in the fear of God. Now let's look at these verses a little bit more closely. We begin in verse 1, and it says, therefore be imitators of God as dear children. And as the saying goes, when you see the word therefore, you have to ask yourself, what is the word therefore? Therefore. And we look to the verse before that, and it says in verse 32 of chapter 4, and be kind to one another, tender-hearted, forgiving one another, even as God in Christ forgave you. So we're to be imitators of God as dear children, and it says in that verse that Christ forgave you, and we're to forgive one another. We are to be imitators of God. Now, how did the Lord Jesus forgive us? Let's make some observations about Christ's forgiveness of us. First of all, let's ask ourselves the question, were we deserving of this forgiveness? I think we have to all say, no, we weren't. None of us, it says in the scripture, while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. We were his enemies. His enemies. So none of us deserve his forgiveness. How about another question? Does he forgive but then keep a record of our wrongs? And we have to answer to that, no, he doesn't. The scripture says, as far as the east is from the west, so far has he removed our transgressions from us. That's a wonderful promise for us. Because when we think of our sins of our past, sometimes we just cringe inside, don't we? And yet the Lord does not keep a record of wrongs. He forgives us. And we know that God is love, and we read in 1 Corinthians that one of the things about love is that love keeps no record of wrongs. Thank God that he does not keep a record of our wrongs. And it says in our verse, we are to be imitators of God. We're supposed to forgive as Christ forgave. Now, this is impossible for us to do on our own, isn't it? But we are to be imitators. And that word imitators has the idea of repetition of a pattern established by another. Paul uses this word. Let's turn to 1 Thessalonians. 1 Thessalonians chapter 1. And he uses this word. Paul uses this when he's speaking to the Thessalonians. 1 Thessalonians chapter 1, verse 5 through 8. We're going to see this word used. I'll read these verses. Verse 5, for our gospel did not come to you in word only, but also in power, and in the Holy Spirit, and in much assurance, as you know what kind of men we were among you for your sake. And you became, and here's the word, you became followers of us, imitators of us, and of the Lord, having received the word in much affliction with joy and the Holy Spirit, so that you became examples to all in Macedonia and Achaia who believe. For from you the word of the Lord has sounded forth not only in Macedonia and Achaia, but also in every place. Your faith toward God has gone out so that we do not need to say anything. You see, these Thessalonian believers, they had become imitators of Christ. And our Paul had become an imitator of Christ too. And it says, you became followers of us and the Lord. They were imitating Paul. And Paul, who was Paul imitating? He was imitating the Lord Jesus Christ. So we're to be imitators of Christ, followers of him, following the pattern that he has set for us. And there's a great, tremendous impact of following the Lord Jesus Christ, imitating him. Sometimes we have a negative connotation of imitating, like mimic, making fun of. But no, it's following in the steps that he set for us, following the pattern that he has set. And let's look at Jesus, the impact of Jesus' forgiveness. Just remember when he was on the cross, what did Jesus say? As he was bearing the sins of all the world, bearing the wrath of the Father for our sins, your sins and mine, and then he was not only that, but he was bearing the sins of, or bearing the wrath of sinful man, those around him. People were nailing him to the cross and shouting insults at him, making fun of him. And what did Jesus say on the cross? Remember those beautiful words? He said, Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do. So here is the standard. Forgiveness. Did these people deserve the forgiveness? No, they didn't. They didn't deserve the forgiveness, and yet Jesus, while he was on the cross, said, Father, forgive them. Now let's look at someone who imitated the Lord Jesus. Let's look at Stephen, the first martyr. Remember what Stephen said. If you remember, while they were throwing stones at him, he said, Lord, do not charge them with this sin. And who is there? Who is there during that time? Saul was there, whose later name changed to Paul, who wrote this book. Stephen said, Lord, do not charge them with this sin. You know, Saul was standing there giving approval for Stephen's death. You know, Stephen, you know, he could have said, as he was dying, he said, Lord, just send them all to hell. Burn them all. But he didn't say that, though, did he? He didn't. He was an imitator of the Lord Jesus Christ. And just look at the tremendous impact on Paul's life. You know, a seed was planted there. And we know Paul had a tremendous conversion, didn't he? And I think a seed was planted here. And Paul was later converted, wasn't he? So Stephen became an imitator of Jesus, and then Paul became an imitator of Stephen and Jesus, didn't he? Because Paul, later on in his ministry, he was continually beaten up, imprisoned, and yet what did he do? He continued to still give out the message. And so there's an impact. When we love as Christ loved, there's an impact on those around us. Maybe they won't receive the message right away. Maybe they're not grateful that we're forgiving them. But we still have to have that attitude of forgiveness, and we can't do it on our own. It's only through the power of the Holy Spirit. And if we feel that we can't forgive someone, even as a believer in Jesus Christ, we have to just cry out to the Lord, Lord, help me. Help me to forgive as you have forgiven me. Because there's not one of us in this room that's a believer in Jesus Christ that hasn't been forgiven a huge debt of sin. So we have a great impact on others when we forgive. And we need to have a forgiving heart like our Lord, even if people don't acknowledge that they have wronged us. Be imitators of God as dear children. Let's go back to our text in Ephesians 5. Be imitators of God as dear children. And then in verse 2 it says, and walk in love as Christ also has loved us and given himself for us, an offering and sacrifice to God for a sweet-smelling aroma. Walk in love. And that word love there is that agape love. That love that only Christ can give. And it's a love that, it's not the object that has all the merit, does it? The object of Christ's love doesn't have the merit. No, it's Jesus has the merit, doesn't he? He was the one who knew no sin. You know, it's a love of choice. And it's a love of action. God so loved the world that he gave. He gave his only begotten Son. And here we see walk in love, in that agape love, as Christ also has loved us and given himself for us, an offering and sacrifice to God. He offered himself, and he was a sacrifice. And you see here, for a sweet-smelling aroma, God the Father was pleased with the work of the Son. You know, all of our sins were heaped upon the Lord, and the Father was pleased in the work of the Son. The work was finished once and for all. There doesn't need to be another sacrifice. There doesn't need to be another sacrifice. It says, walk in love as Christ also hath loved us and given himself as an offering and a sacrifice to God. Now, we will never be able to bear the sins of the world like Jesus. No, we're not called to do that. But what are we called to do? We can't give ourselves as a sacrifice for sin. He did that, but we can give ourselves, as the scripture says, as a living sacrifice, holy which is our reasonable service, the scripture says. He loved us. We love him. Why? Because he first loved us. And then Paul goes on and he says in verse 3, and then he has the word but there. So this is what we're supposed to do in verse 1 and 2, and then he says, but. He says, fornication and all uncleanness and covetousness, let it not even be named among you as is fitting for saints. Isn't that wonderful? The Lord thinks of us as saints. We're saints. Those of us who have believed, trusted in the Lord Jesus, we're saints. And it says it's not fitting for these things, for fornication and all uncleanness and covetousness. It says, let it not even be named among you. We know we wrestle with these things, don't we? Because we still have these sinful flesh. We have the sinful flesh that we have until the day we die or until the Lord comes. And yet, these things should not be named among us as is fitting for saints. God views us as saints, and is it fitting for someone, a saint is someone set apart, made holy by the blood of Christ? Is it fitting for a saint to be involved in these things? I'll give you an example. Just think of yourself wearing your best clothes that you have. Or maybe you don't have some nice clothes, you might dream about having something nice, right? And just think of yourself in this just beautiful piece of clothing, okay? And now think of yourself jumping into the mud with this beautiful clothes. I mean, you're dressed fit to kill, right? And you go right and waddle in the mud. And you're all rolling around in that mud. And what do you look like now? Not a pretty sight. You see, when we're dressed real nice, it's not fitting that we go play in the mud, is it? It's not fitting. And it's the same thing as saints. You know, God sees us as saints. And it's not fitting for these things to be in our thoughts, our words, or our deeds. And he goes on. He says, neither filthiness, nor foolish talking, nor coarse jesting, which are not fitting, but rather giving of thanks. We should be ones that are giving thanks. When we hear things that aren't right, we should try to switch the subject and try to find something to be thankful for. Try to switch the subject. These things aren't fitting for us. And then verse 5, it says, for this you know, that no fornicator, unclean person, nor covetous man who is an idolater has any inheritance in the kingdom of Christ and God. You see, people that have not believed on the Lord Jesus Christ as their personal Savior, that He bore the penalty of their sin, they've not trusted them. You know, their only identity is in their sin. And it says here, none of these people have any inheritance in the kingdom of Christ and God. But as believers in Jesus Christ, what is our identity? Now, we said we all have our sin nature still, and sometimes we wrestle against these things. The spirit indeed is willing, but the flesh is weak. But what is our identity? Is our identity our sin? No. Our identity is in the Lord Jesus Christ. That's who we are. The scripture says we died and our life is hidden with Christ in God. When Christ, who is our life, appears, then we shall also appear with Him in glory. This is our identity, not the sin that we wrestle with. Don't ever let someone tell you that that is your identity. There's many people that might counsel people saying that they'll say that I am this or that, and they identify themselves in terms of sin. But as a believer in Jesus Christ, your identity is in Him. And let's turn to Colossians chapter 1. Just flip over a couple pages, three pages. Colossians chapter 1, verse 21 and 22. Colossians 1, verse 21 and 22. And you who once were alienated and enemies in your mind by wicked works, yet now He is reconciled in the body of His flesh through death, to present you holy and blameless and above reproach in His sight. This is the way the Lord Jesus Christ sees us. You know, because as a believer, He doesn't see us according to our sins, but according to His righteousness. We're blameless and above reproach in His sight. I don't think any of us feel that way, do we? How many of us can say, I am blameless and above reproach when we see our sin? No. But in Christ, are we blameless and above reproach? You bet we are. You bet we are. We are as blameless and above reproach as the Lord Jesus Christ, not because of who we are, not because of our works, but because we have the righteousness of Christ covering us. And the blood of Jesus Christ cleanses us from all sin. What a privilege to be thought of in that way. And so our identity is in Christ. And we are to be imitators of God as dear children walking in love. None of these other things should be named among us. Why would we want to imitate the people in verse 5? The people that they're struggling in their sin, they have no option. See, we have the new nature. Yes, we have the old nature, but we have the new nature, and we can walk in newness of life. People that don't know the Lord Jesus Christ, they're not born again. They do not have the opportunity that we have. So why would we want to imitate someone, and it says, all these people whose their identity is in their sin, has any inheritance? They don't have any inheritance in the kingdom of Christ and God. Why would we want to imitate something that's passing away? All these things, all these, the lusts of the flesh, all these things are passing away. Why would we want to imitate? And so often don't we imitate, whether it's in our thought or our words or our deeds, sometimes we imitate these people. And so these things should not be among us. And it says in verse 6, let no one deceive you with empty words. Because of these things, the wrath of God comes upon the sons of disobedience. Therefore, do not be partakers with them. It says, don't be deceived. Many people will try to deceive us, saying that sin is not sin anymore. They'll say, no, it's not really. God really doesn't say that in His Word. Or they'll do it very subtly. And they'll try to make us tolerant of sin. But it says, let no one deceive you. Turn to Romans 1, verse 28. Romans chapter 1. And it talks about this. It talks about this very thing. Romans chapter 1, verse 28 to 32. Romans 1, verse 28. And even as they did not like to retain God in their knowledge, God gave them over to a debased mind to do those things which are not fitting, being filled with all unrighteousness, sexual immorality, wickedness, covetousness, maliciousness, full of envy, murder, strife, deceit, evil-mindedness. They are whisperers, verse 30, backbiters, haters of God, violent, proud, boasters, inventors of evil things, disobedient to parents, undiscerning, untrustworthy, unloving, unforgiving, unmerciful, who, knowing the righteous judgment of God, that those who practice such things are deserving of death, not only do the same things, but approve of those who practice them. And there it is at the end there. It says they not only do those things, but they approve of those who practice them. So these people are going to try to lure us into doing the same things they're doing. They not only do them themselves, but they try to deceive us into doing them. And it's surrounded, aren't we? We're surrounded. We live in this world, and there's things all around us, whether it be on TV or movies or people that we work with. We're surrounded by it. Okay, now back to Ephesians chapter 5. So it says, do not be deceived. It says, let no one deceive you with the empty words. You know, the wrath of God is coming upon the sons of disobedience. Therefore, do not be partakers with them. It doesn't say we have to get out of the world. We can't leave this world, right? We're going to be around these people, but it says, do not be partakers with them. But what should we do? Verse 8, it says, for you were once darkness, but now you are light in the Lord. Walk as children of light. You know, He has delivered us from the power of darkness and conveyed us into the kingdom of the Son of His love, hasn't He? We once were darkness, but now we are light in the Lord. So now what should we do? We should walk as children of light. That's how we are to walk. Verse 9 says, for the fruit of the Spirit is in all goodness, righteousness, and truth. That's the environment where the fruit of the Spirit exists, in all goodness, righteousness, and truth. We need to be studying the Scriptures, don't we? Every day. We were once darkness, but now we are light in the Lord. Now let's walk as children of light. And verse 10 kind of is connected with verse 8. And verse 9 is almost like a parenthesis. Walk as children of light. Verse 8, finding out what is acceptable to the Lord. Verse 10. And that verse 9 is kind of like parentheses there. And that word finding out can also be translated proving. To approve has the idea of approving after examination, to find out by experience. So walk as children of light, proving what is acceptable to the Lord. You know, people are watching us. And as we live our lives, we're proving what is acceptable to the Lord. And we're letting the light of Jesus Christ shine in us. And what a privilege we have. And as they see Christ in us, maybe they too will become an imitator of Christ. maybe they too will become an imitator of Christ. And isn't that a privilege that we have, that we can lead other people to the Lord? And it's not always by shouting out words to them. Sometimes it's just by being there for them and letting the light shine, letting Jesus Christ shine. Okay, verse 11. And have no fellowship with unfruitful works of darkness, but rather expose them. Now, notice it doesn't say that we cannot have contact with people who do these works. You know, Paul says in another place, we can turn there, in 1 Corinthians, that if we would do that, we'd have to leave the world, because there are people that are going to be doing ungodly things throughout this world, and we can't really get away from. We have to have contact with them in our normal everyday life. But what does it say we should not have fellowship, you know, with their works? Okay, 1 Corinthians, turn to 1 Corinthians chapter 5 with me. 1 Corinthians chapter 5, verses, starting at verse 9. And here Paul is telling them they shouldn't keep company with a believer who's doing these things, but let's just read. Verse 9. 1 Corinthians chapter 5. I wrote to you in my epistle not to keep company with sexually immoral people, yet I certainly did not mean with the sexually immoral people of this world, or with the covetous, or extortioners, or idolaters, since then you would need to go out of the world. But I have written to you not to keep company with anyone named a brother who is sexually immoral, or covetous, or an idolater, or a reviler, or a drunkard, or an extortioner, not even to eat with such a person. So we're in the world, but we're not of the world. And we have to be in contact with these people, but we're letting the light of Jesus Christ shine unto them. And we don't follow their works. Okay, let's back to Ephesians chapter 5. It says, have no fellowship, verse 11, have no fellowship with the unfruitful works of darkness. So have no fellowship with their works, the works of darkness, but rather expose them. Now, what does that mean, expose them? Now, one thing it doesn't mean, we don't expose them by just talking about their evil deeds. I think sometimes we get involved in that. We start talking about all the wickedness of the world. We talk about it in detail. I don't think it's pleasing to the Lord. He goes on in verse 12, for it is shameful even to speak of those things which are done by them in secret. It's shameful to even speak about some of these things. And here we sometimes we find ourselves talking about, maybe we're not doing them, but we're talking about, oh, what the evil things that they're doing, and we talk about it in detail. That's not fitting for saints to do that. It's shameful even to mention those things. You know, darkness does not expose darkness, does it? I'll give you an example. Tell you a little bit about myself here. Sometimes when I get real busy, I end up, my room starts getting out of control. And I start putting things get sitting on the floor, maybe a box of this, or a stack of books, or a stack of clothes. And it gets out of hand. And it's fine during the day when you can walk around and see these things and dodge them. But what about at night when you need to walk around there? It's really difficult. There's things that you bump into. You might go a few feet and, oop, okay, now I go this way. Oh, okay. You go through a maze until finally you're touching on the wall. Oh, wait, where am I? And then you have to try to find a light somewhere. Okay, now what happens if someone came in and they didn't turn on the light for me, but they said, oh, why don't you just, this room is a mess. Why don't you just clean it up or something? You know, yeah, that's right, but just please turn the light on for me. You know, what's the thing that helps us in the darkness? It's the light. And just We cannot expose the darkness of this world by just shouting at them darkness, showing them their darkness. What exposes the darkness? Let's look at our verse here. It says, but in verse 13, but all things that are exposed are made manifest by the light. For whatever makes manifest is light. You know, that's how we expose the darkness of people around us, not by shouting at them about darkness, not by talking about darkness so much. Let the light of Jesus Christ shine. Forgive them as Christ has forgiven you. Let the Holy Spirit work in our lives to show the light of Jesus Christ. You know, it's catchy. Remember Jesus, Stephen, Paul? Maybe the people that are around us aren't deserving of letting this light shine into them. We weren't, but the light shone into us, those of us who believe. We let the light shine. The scripture says, let your light so shine before men that they may see your good works and glorify your Father in heaven. You see, the light of Jesus Christ, that exposes the darkness that people are walking in. You know, if you just point them to darkness, is that going to help them? No, because they're going to still be in darkness. But when the light of Jesus Christ comes to them, then they see. They can see all these things that were hindering. Just like in my room, all these things I was bumping into. They see all those sinful things that have been hindering them in their life. And you know what? The Lord Jesus Christ justifies the ungodly in their state of ungodliness if they will just believe on the Lord Jesus Christ as their personal Savior. And you know what? He's in the restoration business. He cleans up those things. But you know, they have the light they can walk through. And he's in the process of slowly but surely, he takes these things that are getting in their way. You know, all of us can see things in our life that the Lord has delivered us from. You know, when we think of when we first believed on the Lord Jesus until now, the Lord is in the process of restoration, isn't he? Behold, all things are new. He gives us hope in a future. And so what exposes the darkness? The light exposes, and the light of Jesus Christ. He is the light, and we have the privilege of being light bearers, don't we? We can walk in that newness of life. We have victory in Christ Jesus. Okay, back in Ephesians, verse 14. So verse 13, he says, all things that are exposed are made manifest by the light. For whatever makes manifest is light. Therefore, he says, awake, in verse 14, awake you who sleep, arise from the dead, and Christ will give you light. That's what he wants to do. He wants to shine on us. Awake from sleep. Christ is the light of the world. You know, there's a message here for the unbeliever, for someone who doesn't believe in Jesus as their Savior. It says, awake, you who sleep, arise from the dead. And he wants to give you life. If you don't know, if you don't have assurance that the Lord Jesus is your personal Savior, this verse says, awake, you who sleep, arise from the dead. You see, Christ paid it all for you. There's not one thing that you can do to get the approval of a holy God. Jesus paid it all. All to him we owe. This hymn says, sin had left a crimson stain, he washed it white as snow. It says, arise from the dead, and Christ will give you light. He's not a respecter of persons. It doesn't matter if you say, oh, my sins, I have to clean up my act first before I go before a holy God. We couldn't clean up our act. There's no way we can clean up our act in darkness. Jesus Christ wants to shine on you. And Jesus Christ says, come unto me, all you who are weak and weary, and I will give you rest. He'll give us rest. Rest for our souls. And it says, believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, and thou shalt be saved. We can't clean up our act enough before a holy God. It's impossible. But Jesus will clean it up for us. In the moment a person believes on the Lord Jesus Christ, he sees them as blameless, spotless in his sight. What a privilege. We talked about that before. We are seen as holy and blameless in His sight. And that's, the Lord is not willing that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance. Then in verse 15, it says, "See then that you walk circumspectly, not as fools, but as wise." And here's one of my favorite verses, redeeming the time. This is for us, any believers here, the believers here. Redeem the time because the days of are evil. See then that you walk circumspectly, not as fools, but as wise, redeeming the time. You know, right now, you know, the clock is ticking, tick, tick, tick. We have, each day is a day that we can redeem the time. It's a privilege that we have. You know, the time, the Lord has just been showing this to me. It's a long story, but to shorten it up, just for about a month this summer, I have gotten a job, and the Lord has just shown me the shortness of life and that all of us are going to die. I have a job at a cemetery. And I know some of you laugh. I laughed too when I found out that I was having this job. But anyways, I can't tell you what an impact this job has had on me. Just hearing that death bell. They do about 6 burials a day there. And I started out just trimming the hedges, you know, doing things like that. But now I'm, every once in a while they have me bury people with them when they start getting all these people coming in. They ring this death bell. They ring a death bell that's what I call it. It's a bell. But every time someone dies, they ring this bell and this big funeral procession comes in. And the Lord is showing me through this that time is short. And I just keep on this verse, redeem the time. You know, I always wonder, these people, these bodies that are coming, do they know the Lord? Do they know the Lord? Sometimes we bury children, sometimes people in their 40s, sometimes 60s, sometimes 80s, sometimes what, all ages. But I always wonder, do they know the Lord? Time is running out. And there's a saying, one life will soon be passed, only what is done for Christ will last. You know, we get involved in so many things sometimes. We get distracted, things that aren't honoring to the Lord. We have this privilege. There's only one life that we have. He gives us a certain amount of days, and we have these days. If you don't know the Lord as your Savior, He's giving you these days to come to know Him, to come to know the Lord Jesus Christ as your personal Savior. And if you are a believer, He's giving you this time. You can redeem the time to the glory of the Lord Jesus Christ. You know, we don't have this privilege after we die, do we? You know, after we die, it's too late. We don't get to walk by faith after we die or when the Lord comes. We have this privilege right now. We can walk by faith today and tomorrow, however many days He gives us. But you know, the time is coming when we don't walk by faith anymore. What do we walk by? We walk by sight, don't we? Because we see the Lord Jesus Christ face to face, and that day is coming, and we look forward to that day with such anticipation. But now we have the privilege of redeeming the time, for the days are evil. Let's not waste our time imitating those who are under God's wrath. Verse 17, "Therefore do not be unwise, but understand what the will of the Lord is. Do not be drunk with wine in which is dissipation, but be filled with the Spirit." This is what we need. We need to be filled with the Spirit. And then verse 19 through 21, "Speaking to one another in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, singing and making melody in your heart to the Lord, giving thanks always for all things to God the Father in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ, submitting to one another in the fear of God." These are the things that we should be doing, walking in the Spirit, and we can't do that on our own, can we? You know, the Holy Spirit is who motivates us to do all these things, and we just, when we fall short of the glory of God, we confess our sin, and He's faithful and just to forgive us our sins, and He wants to lead us into all of these things. So be imitators of God as dear children and walk in love. And may we all redeem the time in these days, however days we have. We don't know how many days we have left, but may we redeem the time.